Great pleasure to be here again at Perimeter. First, let me mention my collaborators in the alphabetical order: Sam Braunstein, Benoit Collins, Ion Neshita. Last two authors are here, and they organize this workshop. Then Vladimir Osipov, Carol Penson, and Hans-Jürgen Sommers. I will explain exactly what I mean about random quantum states. In fact, the story is very simple. The question is how to generate random states or an ensemble of random density operators. There are many ways to do it, but the simplest idea, the one I think the most simplest, is to define an ensemble of random pure states of a composite system. Of course, you can think of different probability measures. Let's assume we have a given a measure mu, and then we perform partial trace over chosen subsystem B to obtain a random mixed state. And then, in principle, you could define take a more general approach. You can take any quantum operation acting on a random pure state. This is a more general approach. But here, basically, what I'm going to consider is a special case if this linear map is just partial trace over a given subsystem. And then the main message of the talk I can transfer already now. The message is that there are many different measures which depend on the initial measure and on the choice of subsystems. And the second part is that for some of those cases, we can even tell something how those induced measures look like. And we can compute and get some information about the, for instance, distribution of eigenvalues. So what we are going to study, we have an ensemble of random states of a given size. And for instance, we wish to understand spectral properties of those random density matrices. I was asked to make a short introduction to the subject, but since here are experts in the field, I will proceed fast. But in general, we are going to talk about normalized pure states. So they are normalized, so they belong to the sphere. If the size of the Hilbert space is n, the size of the sphere is 2n minus 1. And since we identify two states up which differ by a complex space, the space of all states is equivalent to the complex projective space Cpn minus 1, which has 2n minus 2 real dimensions. In the simplest case of quantum bit, you know very well that this is the famous Bloch sphere, so Cp1 is exactly sphere S2, and with any point on the sphere, we can associate a pure state, and then you know very well that the interior of the sphere called the Bloch ball contains all mixed states. This is simple for n equal 2. For higher n, the space of all states is not a sphere anymore. It's just this complex projective space. Now a natural question, how to obtain those random pure states. You know, for more than 20 years, there still is an interesting subject of research called quantum chaos. In two sentences, the main observation was, if you take a quantization of a classical system, which is classically chaotic, and for instance, take an evolution operator, which is unitary, take any fixed initial state, that if you act with this unitary operator, even though the operator is deterministic, it produces a state which is basically random. What it means? It means that it is distributed according to the unique measure called Fubini study measure, which is invariant with respect to unitary transformation. In the case of n equal 2, this Fubini study measure is nothing else as a standard Lebesgue measure on the sphere. So you take a sphere and you distribute all points uniformly. So this is simple. Now a question how to obtain such a state numerically. It's also simple. Well, we can expand any state in a given basis. So basically what we need to do is to obtain a set of n complex numbers ci, and interestingly, it's enough to take complex random independent numbers zi and to rescale them like this to assure that the state is well normalized, and this is your random pure state. As you see, it's not so trivial that the Gaussian distribution of those complex numbers corresponds to a natural Fubini study measure in the space of pure states. Anyway, this measure is unique, and if we work with the set of pure states, there's one nice, unique measure. We can ask what are the now properties of such a typical random state. For instance, if you expand it in any basis, as before, you can ask, for instance, what is the distribution of the components? So yi is just squared elements expansion coefficients. And then to characterize this distribution, one can, for instance, compute the entropy of this vector defined like as usual, it's a Shannon entropy, and then it is just a property of random Gaussian numbers. Then the average entropy, if you now take an average state of size n, and average with respect to the all states, this entropy behaves like log n minus something. Log n is the maximal possible entropy, and the something is 1 minus gamma, is the Euler constant, so it's almost maximal. By the way, here I mentioned an old paper by Kuzmostowski and Hacke. So Hacke wrote a very nice book on quantum chaos, and there's a third edition of this book recently published. Each book is revised and better than before, but also thicker. Now, yes? Yes, it will.
Generating evolutions that are going to be given by the BD study metric. In light of like Lorenzo's talk, certainly if you have a system with many components, you'd expect this convergence to take a very long time.
Yes, it's not so simple. To have a specific concrete result is difficult. So basically, it's just hand waving. Okay, I will comment on this, but you are right, it's not so simple. So basically, if you have a random system, random Hamiltonian, it's not so trivial to produce a concrete statement how long you have to act or under what assumptions this measure is exactly uniform. So it's not as simple. So now to make it continue with this introduction, you can ask a simple question. If you take a random arbitrary state psi 1, take randomly another one, psi 2, what will be the average angle between those states, so angle defined in this way. So just if you take a random direction here, now you take another direction, what will be the angle? So of course you might know the answer. This answer depends also a bit on the dimensionality. However, it depends not so much. There's the famous measure concentration phenomena, which was already mentioned during this conference a couple of times. And the fact is, if the sphere is huge, so n is high, then because of the factor sine to power n minus 1 in the Jacobian, it happens that this angle is close to pi half. So basically, the random vectors are very close to be orthogonal with very large probability. And the larger n, the better this holds. So you can think of, if you have two random states, they're in a sense orthogonal. So this distribution, p of chi, where chi is this angle, tends to be delta located at pi over 2. And now you can ask how close, and this is exactly this famous Levy lemma, also mentioned here many times. So basically it says, if it concerns only geometry of higher dimensional spheres, if we have any function f which maps the sphere into R, it is a reasonable function, so it's a Lipschitz function with the constant eta, and we compute average value integrated over entire sphere, then it happens if we take a random point x and compute the value of this function, so the difference between this value and the average is very small. So it's very unlikely, it's exponentially unlikely to get a point such that the difference between the average is larger than alpha. So it's a simple application of this Levy's lemma. You can just take as a function f just component x1, and then this Levy's lemma immediately says that the probability of finding a point of the sphere outside a band along the equator is very small. It converges exponentially to zero, and the larger dimension, the faster. So this is somehow in the physics literature stated that for large dimensionality, every equator of a sphere is fat. Fat in the sense that all states are perpendicular, so they believe they belong to the equator. This picture of Krakow is not only to show you our beautiful city, but also to mention that somehow the talk is somehow structured, so we basically finished the first part of the introduction, and we can proceed to the next. Now I will deal with composite systems. So now the next part is composite systems. If we have two objects, like I don't have two hockey sticks, so I have two pens here. So we can describe those systems in the composite Hilbert space, and we, of course, define separable pure states, which are classically not, they are not correlated, and any state, mathematically speaking, of a tensor product structure is called separable. All other pure states are called entangled. And in the simplest case of four-dimensional Hilbert space, it's 2 times 2 is 4, as you know, then the maximally entangled state is called Bell state. It has such a structure. And it's very strange, very not intuitive state, because it is pure state, so we have the full knowledge about the state. But the partial trace of it is the maximally mixed state, so we do not have any knowledge about it, about the part. And then to characterize to what extent a given state is entangled, you can define so-called entanglement entropy, which is just equal to the von Neumann entropy of the partial trace. So you take the pure state, perform partial trace, and compute the entropy, von Neumann entropy of the partial trace. And the more mixed the partial trace, the more entangled is the initial pure state. And in the case of Bell state, it is maximally entangled because the partial trace sigma in this case is exactly identity matrix with k. So it is characterized by the maximal entropy equal to log of 2. Well, here is just such an example. This is just a picture of real states of two qubit systems. So for instance, here is 0, 0, a separable state, and a separable state 0, 1. And now all those states form a kind of tetrahedron. And here colors denote the entropy of entanglement. The more red, the more entanglement. And the maximally, and there are two maximally entangled states here. One is the superposition of 0, 1, and one is of 1, 0. And here's another state of Bell state here. So this is a kind of a geometric interpretation. What's important here, you see that somehow this point is very far away from all separable states which are here or there. So in a sense, a distance from the separable, the border of separability tells us how far, to what extent a given state is entangled. And as you, okay, now is a short break for a commercial. So this was just a cover story of the book we wrote with Ingemar. And this is important maybe to mention that this book somehow was written, was finished here at Perimeter as we worked here in 2004 and 5. So I'm happy to Perimeter for supporting this book. So now let us say something, a few words about the generic state of a bipartite system. So we consider now a simple case of two qubits, so n times n quantum system described in such a Hilbert space. Now you see that this dimensionality of this space is n square minus 2, while the dimensionality of the subspace of separable states of this form is only 2n minus 2. So it is a much smaller, the manifold of smaller dimension, so it will be easy to see that those separable states are very unlikely, because they form, in a sense, a set of measure zero in the manifold of all states. Therefore, you could guess that a random state will be entangled. Now, you can ask how much it will be entangled. So what we are doing, we're just taking a random state defined as before, and we take partial trace, and then we try to compute the von Neumann entropy of this reduced state, which tells us how much the initial state was entangled. And here are the results. First result was a conjecture by Page that in the case of n times n system, look, this average entropy is log n minus 1/2 plus some correction. So in Bell state, it's almost maximal. Maximal possible is log of n. And here's maximal minus some minor correction. And for n times k system, there is a similar formula. For large n, it behaves like log of n minus n over 2k. In this case, maybe you can recognize the distribution of eigenvalues. Now, lambda I denote just eigenvalues of this density matrix obtained by partial trace. And this is, in a sense, the measure in the space of mixed states induced by partial trace and the assumption that the initial states, they were randomly taken at this Hilbert space. So this formula was exactly here discussed yesterday by Ye. Yes, is it correct, the name? Yes. By the way, I think we are the first who discussed this formula with respect to quantum entanglement and perhaps derived this normalization constant, which is not so important. However, if you now consider the same question and ask how likely it is to find a state the entropy of which differs from the average, you can just use the Lewis lemma, and then there's a result of Patrick, Debbie, and Andreas, and some of them are here, I presume. Yes, yes, okay, there's a delegate, yes, so he can correct me if I'm wrong, but basically what he says is the statement that the entropy of a random state is close to the average, and deviation from the average, alpha deviation, is exponentially small. Yes, so we go to...
Now to the main part of the talk. The
introduction is finished, so do you have any questions concerning the introduction?
It was done early in the morning, but it's unfortunately not my fault. We can go back to the case of composed
bipartite systems. So this, in a sense, repetition of what was already said, we take the random state on HA times HB, perform partial trace. You can define it like this. You can start with any state, like separable state, apply a random unitary, which is global, it acts on the bipartite system. In this way, you obtain a random state, and then you perform partial trace. And what you get? Well, you get the mixed states, the spectral density of which is described by the famous Marchenko-Pastour distribution, where the parameter C is just the ratio between two dimensions. One more remark, the pure state you obtain by acting with the global unitary, random unitary matrix on that given product state, you can rewrite like this, where this matrix G, I, J, this is just a product basis, this arbitrary matrix, which is non-Hermitian, non-random, not Hermitian, non-symmetric, is a random matrix. And it is written here by G, as you can guess, because, no, it's not written here yet, it belongs to the Genib ensemble. And therefore, there is a relation with the Marchenko-Pastour law. So here is a short introduction to those subjects that was discussed today, this morning. If you have a random matrix of Genib, then there is a Gierko circular law. So here are the eigenvalues of such a matrix. In the limit of large n, all eigenvalues, they will cover the unit disk uniformly under this normalization. And then you can compute, define so-called Wishart matrix, G times G Dagger. It's already Hermitian and positive. And now the spectrum of it is described just by the Marchenko-Pastour law, which is written here, where X is just the rescaled eigenvalue. So we rescale eigenvalue in such a way that the average is 1, and then the Marchenko-Pastour law tells us that this density is given by this simple formula. What is important to emphasize is that the support of this distribution is just finite from 0 to 4. Okay, so this was simple. We took random states. In a sense, they were unbiased. Now I will consider different assumptions. In a sense, they are biased ensembles. What I mean by biased? I take a superposition of a locally transformed state. So I take any random state, it's called here phi AB, and take the same state, which I locally transform by a local operation UA. So in a sense, here is a state, and I take superposition of this state with the same state locally transformed randomly. Okay? Are you with me? So now a question. How do you think? This state, okay, you have this state. Is it, after this superposition, more entangled than the initial state or less entangled? You guess? Yes, I average over U's. Okay, first I average over both. First, I average over, okay, so I average over phi and over u's. No, but okay, you can have, okay, well, you have a random state, so in a sense, the average is already inside because you have already average state. And then you superpose it with such a locally rotated state. Anyway, the ensemble is biased. In a sense, it's not what I emphasize. This ensemble is different from the previous one. This you believe. This is simple. And so the question is basically whether the partial traits, which one is more mixed, this one or this one. So if you don't risk to guess, I will give you the answer. Okay.
But what? What?
No. It is, okay, somebody said less. It will be less entangled but more pure. Okay, so in a sense, both one, yes. So here is a simple case. Okay, look, if you take maximally entangled state and superpose it with locally rotated maximally mixed state. So in a sense, here you see you must lose entanglement. Because, okay, it was maximally entangled, now it will not be anymore. So what I'm doing it here again, I take maximally entangled state and I superpose it with the state which is locally rotated by random UA. But now look, I can write now this state in the form like this. Identity matrix plus UA plus UA dagger renormalized. By the way, usually you multiply unitary matrices. And here I found a reason to sum them in a sense to sum U with U dagger, and then it's easy to see that since U is random from higher measure, then the eigenvalues are distributed with respect to the uniform measure, and those eigenvalues are just given by the simple formula like 1 plus cosine alpha, and therefore the spectral density has this form. It's like Alcyon distribution with, as you see here, with support from 0 to 2. And now, yes, I'm happy to see here important person concerning this very question. So 2 years ago, I attended a workshop here. I discussed the Buell measure. Buell measure, okay, here is this described. And a guy who's sitting over there, Robin, he knows why Buell measure is important. So he asked me how to generate Buell states at random. So I had no idea. I answered him, I don't know how to generate them randomly. And now I hope I do. And the answer is amazingly simple. So we even have not only a recipe, but almost like experimental suggestion how to obtain them. So now I refer to the paper with Osipov and Zomer. Now this idea is similar. So we take a random state. So this is a random state obtained by global unitary operation. And I take a copy of this state, yes, and I superpose it with a locally rotated random state. So I get such a state. So as you see here by this formula, the G, the Genib matrix is here because it represents the random state here. And now the reduced state has such a form. So please have a look. It's 1 plus unitary times G. This is now a matrix which is, okay, not Hermitian but unitary. And I make it Wishart-like by multiplying by its adjoint and renormalize. And now it's not easy to see, okay, in fact, it's like 3 pages of computation, to show that the spectral distribution of a matrix obtained in this way, it is just given by this formula of Buell. So the practical way to generate it numerically is simple. You take a random Genib matrix, random unitary, add them, multiply, and multiply with its adjoint and renormalize. And then the spectrum is characterized by the Buell density, which is written here, which, okay, you will see a picture, perhaps. It is a bit similar to Marchenko plus 2, but it's more singular. Support is larger. So it is, in a sense, simple, and I hope it could be useful for practical purposes. And you could even think to get such a state experimentally. You have to convince experimental people to first to produce a random state, and then to produce a local random unitary, which is perhaps doable, and superpose them, and perform partial traces. And now, yet a different approach, which now concerns 4 subsystems. So I need now 4 pens here. Okay, A, B, C, D. So I take first a product state in the, of the 4-parted system, A, B, C, D, or 0, 0, 0. Now I apply 2 random unitary matrices. So I apply a random unitary UAB, which produces a pure random state here, and another random unitary, which produces a random state there. So this is CAB, and this is CCD. And they can be those states written by 2 Genib-like matrices in this product base. Next thing I have to do, so this was the first stage. I have to perform a projection onto the basis in which 2nd and 3rd subsystems labeled by B and C are in the maximally entangled state. So basically, I check whether the state is in maximally entangled state after performing partial trace, this projection. What I get is now a bipartite system, A and B, D. So basically, I have here my 4 subsystems. Those 2 are random, those 2 are random. Now I perform a projection onto the maximally entangled states here in between, so they are already away. And at the very end, I perform partial trace with respect to system D, and I finish with the mixed state here in system A. And now, interestingly, it will be described by a product of two Gini matrices E, G, and E, times its adjoint and renormalized. So it is as simple as that. So the spectrum of those states consists of singular, squared singular values of the product G times E. So it's a product of two independent Gini matrices, and its spectral density is given by the Fuchs Catalan distribution. I will mention this distribution, and you will see how it looks like and give some references, I hope. If not, Ion will do it later on. Yes, 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 yes. So it's a project element in the subsystems B and C. Okay, are you with me? And then because of this projection, here it's important that this projector is in maximally entangled state, which couples B and C. And now, so you will understand immediately that this structure construction can be generalized if you have now two S states. So unfortunately, I don't have two S pencils here, so I will not show it. But you can guess how it works. I need to pair them and take random unitaries which couple first and second, third and fourth, and so on. And that now take the... So this state can be written as in a such a way, so I have S Genib, random independent Genib matrices. Now I have to... So this is first stage. Now I take a projection into the product of S minus 1, maximally entangled states, which basically exhaust all subsystems from the second to the one before last. I perform a projection, so I throw them away. Now what remains is a subsystem, which contains of two parts, and in the last step, I perform partial trace over this subsystem and get mixed state. And now look, it has such a structure. A product of S random Gini matrices times it adjoint and renormalized. Now, so you see that there is a reason why the products of Gini matrices can be used in the, well, quantum information, or to describe some states. And in this case, the spectral density is described by so-called Fuchs Catalan distribution P with the index S, where S is the number of those independent Gini matrices. And now how it looks like. So first of all, why this name? This name comes from the generalization of the fact you might know. It was mentioned today by about the Catalan numbers, which are just the moments of the Marchenko-Pastor distribution. Here, yes, here we have, thank you. We have a generalized version of it. So P is arbitrary power. S is the index, which index of this distribution, and they are the moments, and those moments characterize distribution. Now, how they look like. So Marchenko-Pastor looks like this. This is just in the simplest case where this coefficient C is equal to 1. So N is equal to K, which means that both subsystems are of the same size. Because in principle, those subsystems might have different size. But here, for simplicity, I assume all sizes are the same. So here is P1, here is P2. So look, it has a larger support from 0 to 6 plus something. And at this here is different vertical scale. It's P3, P4, P5. Anyway, you see the larger value of this index S, the more singular distribution. It is more singular here, more singular there. And what's important to stress that in the case S equals 1, you get back to the Marchenko-Pastor distribution because you have standard Wishart matrix of the form G times G dagger. Yes?
Moments of Marchenko-Pastor supposed to be given by Nariano numbers instead of Catalan numbers? The Catalan numbers are supposed to be for the semicircle law.
The even moments for the semicircle. These are also the moments, all the moments for the Marchenko-Pastor solution.
Because
one is the square of the other.
So, you know, it's just a name. So, okay, you can think that this relation is not strong enough, but maybe it's enough to give such a name for the distribution.
But, well, anyway, in a sense, it's clear that this distribution is a generalization of the Marchenko-Pastor and not of the circular, semicircular law. So, here is a table with some data. So there are some ensembles of random states I described today. For instance, simplest one, if you take maximally mixed state and perform partial trace, you get a maximally mixed state. So in a sense, all eigenvalues are equal to 1 over n. So we can call this Dirac delta distribution, and it will be good to be denoted by P naught. So the support is only one point. Entropy is 0. And now we have different distributions, and here they can, all of them can be written in the following form. They have the form of W times W dagger renormalized, where W has different form. For instance, it's 1 plus U. U is random unitary, and G is Gnib, random Gnib. And this leads to the Alksine distribution. This G leads to the Malchenko-Pastour, P1. 1 plus U, you remember, we had to combine two states, leads to, times G, leads to Bure. And I ordered those distributions according to the mean entropy, which characterizes, in a sense, all those distributions. And basically, the larger, okay, the entropy is negative, because this is defined like this. But so in a sense, the smaller this number is more negative, then the states are on average less in time. And now you can think of an even more general ensemble. So you could take a S random Gnib matrices and one random unitary and take such a mixture, incoherent mixture of two states, and this leads this construction now. You take this matrix, multiply, but it's adjoint and renormalized, leads to a generalized ensemble of random Wishart matrices, which in particular case, they give those ensembles like Bure or Hilbert-Schmidt or Fuss-Catalan. So in a sense, we propose a general way how to define and construct ensembles, which I hope are interesting to many of us. So I still have some minutes, I believe. So now I can continue with the last part of the talk, and I was happy to attend a talk on graphs. So now I'll try to explain you a relation between graphs and random state. So here is a construction. So we take any graph gamma, which consists of m edges and k vertices. Both numbers are arbitrary. And now I try to associate a composite quantum system, and here it's important, it consists of 2m subsystems. So if you have one edge, it has two ends, as usual. So in Polish, kij ma dwa końce, so I know how is it in English, but any stick has two ends. So I need two subsystems for each edge. So altogether, I need 2 times m subsystems. And now, each edge represents the maximally entangled state psi plus in both subspaces. So therefore, the size of those subspaces have to be. So now I have 2m subsystems. They are states in the Hilbert space with 2m fold tensor product structure. Those dimensionalities need not to be the same, but for simplicity, I can assume now that all of them are the same. At least those which represent the states joined by a given edge have to be the same. So each edge represents the maximally entangled state. In this case here, I have 2 edges. So 2 times 2 is 4. I have 4 subsystems, denoted here by black dots. And now I have 1, 2, 3, 4 Hilbert spaces. So this is the simplified version of this picture. This edge represents the maximally entangled state, which combines first and second subsystem, and this another maximally entangled state, which is created at third and fourth subsystem. And now I need to explain what is the meaning of the vertices. So vertices, they are the only points here which introduce randomness. They represent a random unitary matrix of the appropriate size. In this case, here, this is the random non-local matrix U, 2, 3. This index means it acts on the subsystems 2 and 3, while here we have local matrix U4 and another one U1. So this is now my definition of our state. There are 2 deterministic maximally entangled states, and there are 3 random matrices, of which here this one is important, and physically it corresponds to an assumption that if we do not know exactly what is the physical Hamiltonian or physical interaction in each vertex, if we don't know nothing, the only thing you can assume is this random. So this randomness is, of course, unitary matrices are distributed according to the higher measure on U of the appropriate size, and it represents an unknown coupling. Okay, and now the idea is, as you can guess, simple. You have to define a subset T of subspaces with respect to which we'll average. So we'll define a mixed state, which is a partial trace over those subspaces labeled by T. So I have an ensemble of pure states. I define the subset of subsystems under which I perform partial trades. In this way, I obtain the mixed state. And what are our tasks? We'd like to determine, for instance, spectral properties of the ensemble of mixed states. So this ensemble is associated with a given graph and a given selection of subsystems. And we'd like to find, for instance, mean entropy of those states. And now here, I want to claim that if you have a simplest graph like this one, the answer to these questions depends not only on the graph, but also on the subsystems you wish to remove. Here, crosses mean those subsystems under which I perform partial trades. So here are, for instance, two, here is one, here are other two, and the answer depends on those assumptions. So here it is. By the way, here I will refer to the paper written together with Benoit and Ion, so Ion will talk in details about it. So here are some other cases we have discussed. For instance, there is such a graph, and there are crosses means those subsystems we want to remove. We will perform averaging, and here is such a cycle with a non-trivial distribution of those points. And here are the results. So for instance, you can easily believe that if you remove those outer points, what you will get, you'll get the maximally mixed state here. So it's basically described by the distribution P naught. However, if you, let's say, remove two parts here, then it's easy to believe that this state would be described in this way, and G is just this Gini matrix as before. And of course, then this mixed state has the structure G times G dagger, and this is described by the Marchenko-Pastoureau law denoted by P1. However, in this last case, it's a more complicated case of cycle graph, so we have one, two, three, four edges, so eight subsystems, and we decided to average over one, two, three, four subsystems. In this case, the structure of this partial trace has this form. You recognize is a kind of product of two independent Gini matrices, and therefore the spectral statistics will be described by this Fuchs-Catalan distribution pi 2, which is plotted here again, which has a bit smaller mean entropy. Yes?
At moments for these does every graph correspond to such a moment?
No, it's not so simple as that. No. Every graph corresponds to an ensemble of pure states. Okay? We have an ensemble of pure states. Now, if we choose which vertices we wish to remove, we define an ensemble of mixed states. For instance, we perform partial trace over those two subsystems.
Yes, so that's
okay. And now we have an ensemble of mixed states obtained by specifying a graph and a partition into two parts. And the moments, okay, and then it's not easy a priori to guess what the result might be. I hope that I will continue on this.
Okay.
And then since I have only a limited number of time minutes, this is another picture from Plato. I will just mention briefly the last issue, namely so-called area law. So now let's make let's discuss a very complicated physical system. The dots, you have here a random graph, more or less. So it's maybe not a tree graph, but still kind of a random connection between screens or whatever. If you're a mathematician, you don't need to know even what is inside. Anyway, you can distinguish here, we choose, select some subsystems which are denoted in blue. This is the picture taken from the paper of Eisen, I will quote. And here, we can now perform
partial trades over those subsystems and ask again the same question, what will be the entropy of the remaining state? So this is the question. So the paper is by Isaac Kramer and Plenio 2008. And this is again the same picture. And then there is a conjecture that basically this entropy depends on the area of this set, where here area is just the all states here which are at the boundary, at the outside or inside ring. So the area is delta A, and we perform the averaging over the complementary set A bar, and what remains is this in blue, this is the set A. So this was the conjecture, and now somehow many people work on this, and very often it's the case that this conjecture is satisfied approximately, and people try to understand under what conditions this conjecture is satisfied, and when it is satisfied exactly, and here in our case, situation is simple, it is satisfied exactly, in a sense I can claim it's a universal area law. Okay, it's very simple, because if we now consider our model, so this is our graph. So this is the simplified version, this is the more complicated version. I have 10 bonds of 20 systems. And here I decided to split those two subsystems into two pairs. I will average over all those left subsystems. So here I can count how many edges were cut, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And my area low is like this. That area now, it is just the, exactly, this is my subsystem, so its area is just number of links cut. And the area low is that the average entropy is m times log of n. In this case, I cut 1, 2, 3, 5 edges, so my area low says that the average, it should be average entropy, is 5 log of n. And here, why it is universal? Well, because it does not depend on the configuration of those parts on the left and the right side. Only topology matters, in this case, the number of edges cut. So I think I should rather conclude. Yeah. So I'm really done. This is my last. Transparency. I wanted to transmit the following message. First of all, there exists a unique, unitarily invariant measure in the space of pure states. However, if you go to the mixed states, there are several measures you can define. There's no a single one which is somehow distinguished. Some measures people like, more or less, are related, for instance, to distance, like Hilbert-Schmidt or Buhr measure, but there are many of those, and we propose concrete algorithms how to produce, I mean, numerically and all analytically, states with respect to a given ensembles like Alstein, Hilbert-Schmidt, Buhr, or Fuchs-Catalan. For instance, to get Buhr, you need to consider what I call the bias ensembles, in the sense that you make a superposition of a given random state with the same state random locally rotated, which is somehow a bit tricky. And to get the Fuchs-Catalan ensemble, you need to perform a projection onto the maximally entangled state. Or you can use another idea. You can associate states with graphs, so define an ensemble of pure states which correspond to a given graph, and then choose a partition of this graph, perform partial trace, and obtain mixed states, and under some assumptions, we know how to construct ensembles of states which are described by the generalized Fuchs-Catalan S distribution. And the last part is, if you have the partition of your graph into two parts and perform the partial trace over one part, then the average entropy is proportional to the area. In this case, our area is just the number of cuts done. This is all what I have to say. Thank you very much.
Also for the tourist guide to Krakow.
Yes.
Other questions? There's some time. Yes, please.
A quick question. So the new UAV, what kind of Hamiltonian evolution would correspond to the new UAV?
Okay, simplest answer is, not I don't care. I don't know. This is most honest. I do care. No, it's not simple. It's not a simple question, and I don't know the answer.
Thanks.
To be honest. But I care.
I'm wondering about the relationship between your results and matrix product states, or their general.
Okay. So, again, we are working on those, so we hope there is a good relation, but I don't see. Okay. Well, I would refrain rather to continue on this topic, but
okay,
I hope
we will
be clever enough.
Yeah, I noticed you didn't.
No, but we know the question. We know the
okay,
question,
good,
and
good.
We hope there will be a good.
Okay, great. Well, we should talk more.
But it's not so clear from the beginning.
Okay.
Well, I've actually asked the same question.
Okay. So in our paper, we hope that there exists, and we are still investigating.
So it looks to me, if I can just. Yes. Yeah. Is there in a minute? What that is the projection operator for the PEPS projector or whatever you want to call it has just been chosen to be the complement of a random projection. Mm-hmm. Something is that what it is?
Okay. Well, so but it's at least for me it's difficult to give you a more precise answer. But somehow we hope that there is a closer link. Even though we started to work on this project totally independently from those matrix states, and eventually, yes, okay, we listen to more and more talks, we realize suddenly that there is, of course, kind of relation.
Sure.
But I think we should continue. Let's thank you once again.